The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let it be to me according to your word. Through Mary's will, we find God's will. Famously, the Blessed Virgin Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." This was her willingness to walk according to God's word. His new creation, which he spoke into existence, and even as the spirits hovered over those initial waters, that same spirit came upon the Blessed Virgin Mary, the power of the Most High. And so God's will was done through her. In the book of Hebrews, we have it recorded that, "Lo, I have come to do thy will." These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God who came to incarnate God, to make him manifest in this creation, to effect that new creation. But that will came to being through a woman, through the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we have a new order for all of creation. In light of this, we understand this new order is that God does his will through means, through what we can call the instrument of humanity. And in light of this, we can acknowledge that there is something that no other faith could come close to proclaiming. I'm drawing some points from these words I'm sharing with you in this homily from a book written by Romanus Cesario, a Dominican, two priests about the nature of the priesthood. And in this chapter, he refers to the grace given to the priesthood as a hierarchy of God's working in creation. But truly, this extends also to all who are members of the body of Christ. That grace through the sacraments that priests bring to all of us. For truly, the Blessed Virgin Mary, in her yes, as the primary mediator, had a certain form of a priesthood, that mediating work of bringing God's will as an instrument. So one thing that Father Cesario says is that to glimpse what an alternative plan for salvation might have looked like, he says, examine the dynamics at work in world religions that admit of no mediations. So certainly in other world religions, we have some who have a measure of doing God's will, who follow after the God's revealed law, his revealed ways. There's a certain measure of holiness in those who do this in other religions. But in the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have God's will actuated through the will of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He makes his entrance in the world dependent on her yes as a means of his work in the world. A whole hierarchy of the new creation. And so one might ask, is this working of God in the world weaker because it's not direct? Is it watered down because he does not act directly in the world but uses mediators? Well, the answer is no, because his will is now woven into creation. It's become part of creation, initiated by the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so it is that Aquinas says that, as he builds on the work of St. John Damascus, an early church father, that Christ's humanity is a kind of instrument of his divinity. So we can understand something about God's person in order to his person, his incarnate person, to understand what it is like for us to be, in turn, his body on earth. Something that was initially that was preceded by the Blessed Virgin Mary, anticipated by her yes. And so, as God's humanity became an instrument of his divinity, Aquinas concludes, Christ's humanity does not cause grace by its own power, but by the power of the conjoined divinity, in virtue of which the actions of Christ's humanity have saving efficacy. So Christ's humanity takes on the power of that divinity. And so it is likewise when we become the body of Christ, anticipated and first of all by grace, become present in the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our humanity becomes a means by which Christ's divinity is active in the world. And so, in light of this, we find that you become a living instrument. And as Aquinas says, this living instrument that you and I become as part of the body of Christ is not inert and passive, but rather is a living instrument. God brings his will forward through your agreement with his plan, through your yes. He makes his action in the world dependent on your initiative. This is the exaltation of humanity to be a true vehicle of his divinity in the world. So what does that mean for us today as we enter into a time of retreat? What it means is that your intentionality matters. That ontological bond, that uniting your being with Christ's being, that's something that has become objective by virtue of your baptism. But it requires your being an instrument all the time and everywhere by an act of your will, saying yes to this sacramental reality, which becomes woven, can be woven into your entire life. So in order for this to become fully true for you, you and I are called to make acts of gratitude to maintain a spirit of recollection. So we come today to enter into a time of silence, to enter into a greater intentionality of accepting this role, of being part of the body of Christ, so that your yes is woven into all of your life, so that the full plan of God's redemption will be fully woven into the world. And so, as a result, in order to bring about this new creation, you and I are called to be truly an instrument of salvation for the world. And this is something that is true not just at Mass time, certainly not just on Sunday, and not on simply during prayer time. We take a time to enter into deeper prayer so that this will be true for you at all times. Your faith is not something merely private. By virtue of your yes, by virtue of your incorporation into the body of Christ, you are a sacred person. You are set apart. And this becomes more true the more you embrace this reality and say yes to it at all times and all days. And so it is. You are able to be truly an instrument of salvation in the world as you do God's will all the time and everywhere. As you continually say, "Be it unto me according to your will, according to your word," God's will is actuated through you.